It's the Metal Show with Gully and Joe, and this is take two because we haven't done this in a while and we're a couple of knobheads. We're doing a review this week, Fear Factory Demanufacture. It's the second studio album by Burton C. Bell and Company, who looks like an old Nazi from the British sitcom Hello Hello. It's the first album with the classic lineup, and that's it. So we're both going to talk about how we got into it. I heard it when it first came out. I was in a band that covered Replica. I'm going to say that throughout this episode because what a way to start a song. I liked some of it at the time, and I went into this with like, wonder whether I'll be into this and will it still hold up today. No spoilers from me, but I see things differently, I'll say that much. But Joe, when did you first hear this album, and what was you doing?
I first heard the album again, like with normal bit. I got into Fear Factory around the time Obsolete was the new album, so I think I got Demanufacture and Obsolete, and then eventually when Digimortal came out when I was in college. The first time I heard Replica was the first time I ever went to a nightclub where they played metal, and it was a defining experience for me, shall we say. I was getting into metal at school. Metal is in where I grow up are far few and far between, so you kind of latch on to each other. And it was the first time me and my mates sneaked into a nightclub where you have to go for that test with the bouncer. You have to practice. At that time, you're 18, mate. Yeah.
And I used to have a fake birth certificate.
Yeah. What's your birthday? Got ID? Nah. Left it at
home.
When was your birthday? And then you had to quickly fucking practice. You had to go back about 3 years. 1982. So, we sneaked into the fit, and this was the first time I'd ever been in a nightclub. I went for the doors. The fucking dance floor was there, like, full of metalers headbanging. It was just the first time I'd ever been into a club where it was all metalers, and it was metal, rock, punk, all in between, playing all night. It was fucking amazing. And I remember on the way home that night, you know, going, right, I found home. You know, I found where I belonged. But the first song when I walked in, I remember to this day, was White Zombie's Electric Head, and then it kicked into Replica by Fear Factory. And just hearing that in that club with all these, you know, in that atmosphere was fucking awesome.
I bet you got rightly fucking pissed as well. Every time you go to your first club, you get caught in the moment and you end up...
We were drinking Newcastle Browns, bottles of Newcastle Brown.
That's going to give you black shits, that, man.
Yeah. Fucking awesome. Pound a pint? Do they still do pound a pints?
No. I used to go to the Crazy House in Liverpool. I'm back in Liverpool now. It's not called that anymore, and I'm too old for that shit. But
it's not called Liverpool?
No, the Crazy House. It's called something else.
Electric, I'm in Liverpool. It's called something else now.
Shithole? No, it's not. It's not that bad. So I used to go there and go with a tenner. And it was 2-for-1 on your drinks, like, and it was the Nuki Browns because they were the biggest bottle. And then as you mature, you realise the biggest bottle isn't the nicest bottle. And I went right off that shit after a while. It tastes like fucking spew, that stuff. Sorry, Newcastle, but it's the truth. So let's get on with the first track, Demanufacture, title track. It's Mortal Kombat, and I think it was actually on the film, this one.
Nope.
One of them's on it. It's probably the next one, isn't it?
Nope. It's Zero Signal.
Oh, God. That's unfortunate. It's a great track, and it's like, I just want to fight people and do stuff with this track on. He sings really well, does Burton C. Bell. Do you like that? And the only problem is that this is what I've spotted straight away, is the over-processing of everything else beside what you need to hear. Too much of this and too much of that, and not the guitars, bass and drums and singer, which is a bit of a pain in the arse. And we'll go into more detail with that as we progress with the album. But yeah, love this track. Great opener. 156, the vocals are spot on. And I got no more. God damn. Regrets. Top top track, top track to be using in the gym, and I'll be getting my ass there soon. I just love it. Great opener.
Yeah, I think it's a great little opener. I think as well, the best is yet to come, but this is a really good song for setting the tone. And I like the way the song kind of builds up at different levels. So you've got that, like the drum intro, and then with the riff, it kicks in. Burton C. Bell does different things with the vocals, and then when the keyboards kick in at the chorus, it kind of lets you know this isn't just another death metal or whatever album, because they were kind of death metal with a bit of industrial tinge on the first album. This one is where they're fully formed. This is Fear Factory fully evolved at this when this album came out. You have to excuse me, people, I've got a cunt of a cold.
That's all right. Coming in Liverpool, it's like 5 or 6 degrees colder here, mate. Yeah. I don't know how to coat. I've been southern for fucking years. I'm like wrapping up in fucking like Eskimo shit and that. Can't fucking cope, but I can understand that.
Another song coming on later though is what I would open a show with, but we'll cover that then. So yeah, The Manufacturer, good little introduction song. And on to the next track for me.
So, Self-Bias Resistor. Oh my God, this is the riff is fucking spot on. Even after all these years, it still sounds pretty good, to be fair. Is it drum machines and drums? The filters they're using and the sound effects they're using over the drums make it sound like shit. I've seen them at a festival, but I can't remember them. And if this doesn't get, like, this is one of them songs, if it doesn't get you to either want to drive faster, have a fight, or in my case at the time when I was typing my notes, which was stomping me feet whilst bobbing me bald head, there's definitely something wrong with you. You're a wrong'un if you don't like this track and you like metal, because it's a fucking great, another great track. And again, they're keeping it going, and it seems to have a bit of extra pace. And the little half-missed riff, it's great. I love it. It's like a little extra. I was always one for when playing in bands myself to put a little cheeky extra note in here and there to make it sound off kilter. And this song does it too, and it's really cool.
Yeah, this is a fantastic song. It's that main riff that you can't help but move your head to that song. It's catchy as fuck. Again, I remember, you know, that one would come on in the clubs quite regularly when I was young. It was a song, you know, you could kind of half dance to in the way metalers do dance.
It's more of an epileptic fit.
It's more of a fucking
one,
groove, yeah. Yeah, but just really fucking... what's his name? Dino? I'm having a brain fart. Dino Cazares.
Cazares, yeah.
He's a fucking underrated guitarist, it's got to be said. He is just a riff machine. And even like later on when Fear Factory split, I followed what he did afterwards. The first Divine Heresy album's really good. The second one...
Amazing. Yeah, amazing album.
Yeah, the second one was a bit heads down. There weren't no keyboards or any much variation.
Bringer of Plagues off that album, the first one, is fucking spot on. Very good fucking heavy track, that.
I've got a story. I'll tell it another time about Tommy Vexed as well. He's my mate.
Your mate?
Yeah.
He's your geezer?
Yeah, I met Tommy Vexed in New York before he became Tommy Vexed, basically. So I'll tell that story another time.
What was his real name then?
No, his real name's Tommy Vexed, yeah.
Okay.
But Tommy Vexed at the time was a security guard and was just in a band. Yeah. I might as well fucking tell it now. I got talking to Tommy Vexed when I was in New York. And when I was in New York, I had about 20 copies of my band's demo. I got talking to him about metal, and basically me and him swapped demos. He's like, oh, I'm an artist. As we said it, I'm an artist myself. I'm in a band. He was like, I'm an artist. I'm an artist myself. But I never called myself an artist, wouldn't.
That's an American thing to do, that, though, isn't it?
But yeah, totally. He was in a hardcore, like a sort of metalcore, hardcore bands. Think a bit of Biohazard, maybe a bit of early Killswitch, you know, that sort of, yeah, think a little bit of rapping, bit of singing, bit of shouting, groovy, thick groove riffs, you know. His first band, Vexed, he was pushing at the time. And, yeah, and then over the years, fucking hell, when Divine Heresy came out, that's Tommy, you know. And then he went on to do loads of things, and he's now being very successful in a band called Bad Wolves. It just, they, what really blew him through the roof was that cover of Zombie.
Nice.
Which came out fucking exactly when, what's her name, Dolores, a sacrilege, I can't remember her name, but she died.
The dead one.
Yeah.
The dead one. I don't know her name either. Not my thing.
Dolores Claiborne, something like that. But yeah, anyway, little tangent there. So yeah, self-bias resist.
It's good fucking, to be back.
I love it when it cuts into the chorus. I just love so many bands. Well, went on. There was a period, especially when metalcore really fucking took off. The switch between harsh vocals and sung vocals. My band even did it as well. It was something I always had difficulty with. It's really hard to fucking sing in key when you've just been screaming like 5 seconds before. It's hard for your voice to adjust. Most people, when they record an album, they do one and the other. But anyway, but Burnsy's Bells always seemed to do it seamlessly. And when I saw them live, he was fantastic. He really was. But yeah, brilliant chorus. And I like the way it goes back and forth a couple of times, but then kicks into that mid-paced groove sort of halfway in. No, that bum da bum 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 da dun 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 dun. Fucking awesome. Really. And that's one thing with this band as well, because you had like death metal was sort of prominent up until, well, mind you, this was 95 when it sort of, death metal was on its arse around now, but they did come from that. But this, I forgot to mention, this, I believe, you can add to this list, but I don't think you can get away from these three albums. These albums defined the 90s, and that's Fear Factory, Demanufacturer, Burn My Eyes by Machine Head, and Vulgar Display of Power by Pantera.
Well, we've done one of them, and we're doing the other one next week.
We've not done Vulgar Display, have we? We did Reinventing the Steel.
We should probably do that. Yeah, we should probably do that at some stage.
Do the trilogy, yeah. I'd quite like to do Trendkill before Vulgar Display of Power.
Yes, because there's more gold in Trendkill than
I just don't know
about
what I can say about Vulgar Display that hasn't been said a million times.
Yeah, and there's more gold in them there hills when it comes to that album.
I think if we did Vulgar Display, it'd be like a Paranoid review. We're just like, yeah.
Yeah,
this is War Pigs. It's War Pigs. What do you want me to say about it? I don't know. Well, next song, well, Paranoid.
They're coming back over. They're coming back over here to play places, doing that Pantera thing again. They better come to the Northwest, because I'm off for that.
Yeah.
I'm off for that.
He only seems to do a full-blown Pantera set in festivals, though. When he did the London Underworld a few months back, and he sort of just did about 5 Pantera songs. The rest was with his band. If he could get, if he did do it with Rex, or did a proper, the general critique of what he's doing at the moment is that he needs a better band.
Yeah, Zach Wild.
Yeah, we'll talk. I tell you what,
Wild, Rex, I'm gonna, Fixed.
I'm gonna pause you there. We'll have that discussion when Luke's on, because Luke's got a very what should I say, he feels quite strongly about a Pantera reunion, and he's not a fan of Zach Wild. Let's leave it at that. So we'll get into that when Luke's on next.
Well, that'll be a case of him dealing with that then.
Right, so should we move on to Yeah.
Zero Signal.
Yeah, classic song, a mainstay in their thing for, yeah, if you're going to do a best of Fear Factory, you're not going to be able to not put Self-Bias Resistor on there.
Yeah, okay, so Zero Signal. Weird intro first. This album is over-processed. I wish the sound was open more outwards. It turns into, especially even on a really good pair of headphones, me editing ones, the sound turns into whoop, whoop, whoop. It takes too long for this song to kick in, and it just becomes a big fucking noise for me at times. I'm not a fan. This is filler early on for me, and I got bored halfway through it and started looking on Cats on Reddit. It gets worse as it goes along, and it feels like 9 minutes, not nearly six. And like the last of me notes I put, I was just looking to skip this. It's worse than breaking up with someone.
Right, everyone, take no notice of what Gully just said because he's talking complete and utter bollocks. This song is fucking awesome. So, listen
to me. You're telling me it's not over-processed?
I don't give a shit about what's processed and all that malarkey. No.
Did you hear the like, whoop, whoop, when the sound just all goes stupid?
Yeah, I think you mean the introduction?
Yeah, well, it's just, no, but at times there's too much keyboards, overemphasis on keyboards.
Right, we'll talk about keyboards later on. We'll talk about the keyboards in a bit. Right, if I was in Fear Factory, I would open with this song. And it's a shame that Fear Factory never got bigger, because I think if they went on to be an arena act and had like a real budget, like I'm talking screens in the background, some really good lighting and things like that, I would fucking absolutely open with this song. This song is meant to be played in arenas. I think it's an anthem. The keyboards as well just add to it. I think it was Fear Factory that gave me my love of keyboards in metal. I mean, so more bands use keyboards than they should, and so few actually pull it off and mix it properly. And Fear Factory is one of the bands. I think Faith No More as well. One of the few bands where the keyboard's actually part of the song, not just put over the top as a bit of icing, just colouring in the blanks. I think this is a fantastic introduction. It makes me vision like some dystopian, cybernetic, apocalyptic word salad. You know, like I think of the Terminator. I think of like some futuristic fucking thing. And when it kicks in, again, when that song just builds up, I can imagine, like, in a concert, you know, all the lights fucking going over the crowd thing. I think a really good thing with Bills was, I think it's such an effective thing to do on a show. It's simple but really effective, is the curtain up at the beginning, and then as the song kicks in, curtain drops, bang, band are there. You could so do that with this song. I love when the harsh vocals kicks in. The riffing, and when he just stops and you're just left with that riff. Fucking Kerry King would have been proud to have wrote the riffs on this song. And then when the sung chorus bit kicks in as well, just adds yet another layer to it. And kicking into the next section. I mean, it's nearly 6 minutes long, this song, but I think there's so much going on, and it flies by because it just goes in different stages. And as for the keyboard solo-y bit, yes, it is fucking awesome because it was in Mortal Kombat when Johnny Cage is fighting Scorpion.
Have you watched that film since?
I've not seen it in a very long time, but I loved it when it was... In fact, I might be watching it soon anyway because Riley wants to watch it.
Uh-huh.
I know the sequel was fucking abysmal.
Stay the fuck away from that one. It's like herpes.
Is it not aged well?
Yeah, it's all right for the kids. They're used to seeing a lot more violence in kids' films now, to be honest. It is what it is. It's like watching fucking episodes of Bottom. You still get a little chuckle, but you can see a lot of it's dated.
Well, I remember when Mortal Kombat came into the cinema, I wasn't able to see it in the cinema because it was 15. But my mate's brother rented it as soon as it came out to rent. And I remember watching it and loving it. And I remember as well, just remember, me and my mates, we just had the big disappointment of the Street Fighter movie.
Oh, that was terrible.
Yeah. So when we saw a film based on the game that was actually still stuck to the story of the game, put it this way, as far as films based on games goes, Mortal Kombat's a fucking masterpiece.
One of the best ones, Jerry.
Yeah. Resident Evil wasn't bad, but it didn't stick to the game at all. Mm. And as it was funny because they had like 1,000 sequels, and no one got it because no one liked them. But they kept making money. The Silent Hill one weren't bad either. Yeah,
it was all right actually. It was just mental because the game was fucking mental.
Yeah, I mean, again, as well as sticking to the game, that was that and Mortal Kombat. I can't think of many better ones.
They don't do it right.
Yeah,
the games are like the films now. Anyway, if you play a game of like,
there's no point in Mortal making Kombat the film.
No.
Yeah,
no, they spend more on the games than they do on the films. So it's just one of them, isn't it?
Well, the games are making more money as well, though. That's the thing. I mean, Avengers. Let's say that's the biggest grossing film at the moment. I think if the makers of GTA, Grand Theft Auto, got the numbers of Avengers, they'd fucking claim bankruptcy.
I know.
It's crazy how much money he's making. So, but yeah,
Zero Signal.
Love it. I absolutely love it. I can't understand how you don't love it. That's why we do the show, I suppose.
Well, I did say it would be different to what you might think. So the next up is Replica. Used to cover it. I don't mind it. It's a big step up from the last one, which I think took a shit in my mouth. It's a very, very easy song to play. Don't remember if I played it that well because it was years ago, but all I could hear was me anyway because I had an amp with two massive speakers on either side of the wherever we played because I was metal. Much better song. It was the biggest single on the album, I believe, as well. And I don't mind this song at all. It still sounds half decent, to be completely fair.
I think this is a fantastic song as well. Yeah, this is the Smells Like Teen Spirit of metal. It's instantly recognisable. Everyone knows it. Again, real simplistic songwriting, but it's effective. Really good riffs, really good catchy chorus, and just the power chord, that ba-na-na, da-na-na, you know, little things like that, just that at the end of the thing, the way he just seeps that in there. I love those little finishes. And again, Burton C. Bell's vocals on it. And it's just full of hooks. It's just with the opening riff. The ha! We'll get to that. But that hasn't aged well, I will admit.
Just a tad.
But yeah, it's just full of catchiness. It's just full of hooks that makes it instantly memorable from the opening riff to the sing-along chorus to the end. I don't want to live that way. You know, I think as well, and often a complaint about our music is that you can't hear the vocals or you don't listen to the words, which is complete bullshit, by the way. I could fucking, any song on the radio, anything, I don't know the fucking words or can hear the lyrics every single time. Peter Kay's done a fucking sketch that's gone viral about how you mishear lyrics. It's total bullshit. And as for all this crap that you hear now, someone, you know, oh, what, you fucking hear the lyrics on that, Kay, yeah? You know, you can make out the lyrics of fucking Nicki Minaj. You don't understand what she's saying. Get the fuck out of here. Anyway, sorry.
You're gonna like me in these next few songs because they all have different names in my mind.
So, anyway, you can make out, though, I Don't Want to Live That Way, clear as day. Yeah, everyone knows it. Definitely. Everyone remembers it. And, fantastic song. I'll tell you what was a really good version of this song as well. Do you remember when they did the Roadrunner Records anniversary concert?
Yeah.
I had that on DVD somewhere. It was basically about a 20-song concert, and it was all select classics from the Roadrunner back catalogue. And it was all the guitarist of this band, the bass player of that band, the drummer of that band, the singer of this band, blah, 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 and everyone just kept swapping around and collaborating. And it's a really good concert, actually. And Dino was on stage when they did Replica. So it was Dino on guitar. I can't remember who the other guys were, but Matt Harvey, is it, from Trivium, did the vocals.
Fucking one good album, Trivium.
Really, really good. Yeah, Trivium. Oh,
good album.
That band had so much fucking potential.
And then they blew it.
They were too good for their own good, actually. Like, as in, wankers. In terms of talent. It was like, if you just reined it in and concentrated on writing good songs and not showing off how good music... A bit like Dream Theater in that way.
Yeah, they turned into that other band, Dragon Force, in the end, didn't he? It was just like... All right, man.
Yeah, stop it. You're talking about the one good album. Is that Ascendancy?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a good album. I really got into the band around that time. I was at their first ever London show. That was at The Garage.
Mm.
And I was just like, this is the next Metallica. You know, this is fucking awesome. This band are going to be fucking huge. The thing is, they went, everyone keeps telling us we're going to be the next Metallica. Let's make an album that sounds just like Metallica. It's like, no, you didn't need to do that. They tried going a bit commercial, didn't they? And then they kind of went the other way. They did an album as well where it was like fucking sounded like Strapping Young Lad.
I never got that far, to be fair.
I gave up on them ages ago, but then I thought, fucking hell, it sounds like they found their feet again. They put out a song that was fucking awesome. And I was like, fucking hell, I'm going to check this out. And when I checked out the album, that opening track was really good, but then the rest of it was a bit...
Yeah, I can understand that. Next up is New Breed, Sub-Zero versus Raiden fight or something. This is dancey and dated. Loads of bands had this type of shit out at the time. Sepultura, KSAD remixes, shit like that. Ministry, to me, are the only bands of this time that done this type of music that still sounds good now.
Yeah, you had a few bands around that time, didn't you? Yeah, that's what I think.
And Ministry stuff does still not sound dated. Like Jesus Built Me Hot Rod, Psalm 69, what a fucking great album. And here's where you're going to get upset because you just went on one before about this. Poo Fight. There's a lyric in the song that sounds like Poo Fight. I know it's not Poo Fight, but it's Poo Fight. Short song, it's good, but yeah, Poo Fight.
I'm trying to think where that goes in. Where's the
Poo Fight? Poo Fight. There you go.
I'll probably hear that now next time. And yeah, it's another song that Gully's ruined for me.
That's what I'm here for.
After he killed the death.
That's what I'm here for.
Yeah. This is what I call killer filler. I think it's a necessary song, and I think we've had so much going on. They have thrown a lot at us in the first four songs. Just a nice knuckled down song, just kind of cleanses the palate, shall we say? And it's not brilliant New Breed, but I bet it does work live. Some songs just work live. You know, we are the New Breed. There. You know, it's one of those crowd interaction songs.
Everyone sings Poo Fight to him at the end.
I think it's a good little mosh. If you've got a mosh pit going, it'd carry on quite nicely with this song as well. I think if you threw this song in a live set, it just fills a gap. It just goes down nicely, I think. So, what other bands were there? Because Ministry were kind of like the band, weren't they?
They were just industrial as fuck.
Well, I guess,
man.
You have Nine Inch Nails, but
never liked them. Too depressing.
For what this is, though, I think this came... Like, Fear Factory come from Ministry more than they do Nine Inch Nails. But I think Fear Factory kind of commercialised what Godflesh were doing. Mm. Like, Godflesh didn't have that sort of mass appeal, but they had that... They did kind of perfectly mix metal with industrial.
What was that?
First album, Street Cleaner.
What was that band? They'd done The Roof Is On Fire.
What, Coal Chamber?
Yeah, they were kind of nearly this, but not quite.
They kind of sprinkled a bit on at the end for effect, but they were never
industrial.
A little boop beep.
Stabbing Westwood.
Well, don't even know who they are.
They were a bit, again, a bit Nine Inch Nails. What about, do you remember Frontline Assembly? Do you remember them?
The name rings a bell, but if you're going too far down the rat hole with this kind of music, I kind of stop with a few bands. And fucking, I didn't verge into that type of music too often. Ministry nailed it, man.
I think, had Ministry, Fear Factory, and if you kind of went anything beyond that, you just became a goth. I think that was,
And you painted shit under your eyes and got beat up in clubs in Liverpool. That's what happened at the time. Next one up, Dog Day Sunrise. The bass sounds like a Super Nintendo. Be Less Games. And you're going to love me now. This album is littered with main chorus bits that sound like other funny things. Take, for instance, Donkey Surprise. It's a donkey and it's a surprise. What could go wrong with it? Well, what's gone wrong with Donkey Surprise? Apart from it being as boring as watching paint dry and dull and tedious and far too long, it's another really shit song. I had fear of being on donkeys in Blackpool and Wales as a kid, and they stank. They stank like this song. Donkey Surprise. What more can I say?
I didn't know there was any donkeys. I've only ever seen donkeys in Spain.
No, there was donkeys in Blackpool and donkeys in Butlins in Pwllheli in Wales when I used to go as a kid, and they stunk like this song does. Donkey Surprise.
I was always under the impression that this was a Killing Joke cover, but it's not.
Know.
It's a Head of David cover. So there you go.
David mustn't give good head.
I don't know who the Head of David are, to be honest. I always thought this was Killing Joke. Are you a Killing Joke fan, by the way?
Nah, never crossed paths with them, but I'd be interested to review an album just for the sake of hearing something different, but it's never on my scene.
I've just quickly looked them up. Right, funny I should mention earlier, I said about Godflesh. This is Head of David is a project featuring Justin Broderick from Godflesh, so there you go.
So now we know.
Yeah, and Broderick was also the guitarist on the first Napalm Death album, Scum.
So have you never been on a donkey?
No.
Weird, you. That must be a southern thing, that.
Animal. What?
Like when you were a kid?
What
on
is
the
it,
beach,
everything
on
you
a
go,
donkey?
You go, oh, that, yeah, it must be a southern thing. What, we southern people don't ride donkeys?
Well, I don't know, because you've just said you didn't. That like, when I went away on holiday, putting kids on donkeys wasn't considered cruel. I'm just saying, like, maybe there was like no donkeys.
I saw donkey rides, but in Spain. But we never did it because we didn't like the way the it wasn't like a, we weren't, you know, fucking.
No, but that's the thing.
Greenpeace or anything, but it was pretty obvious. You could see that how the guy was treating them, that he was whipping them and everything, and we were like, "Fuck that! I'm not."
I was like six. Don't get me wrong, I was like six. I wasn't trying to protect donkeys. This was when I was really, really young.
Yeah, but I'm saying if you did it in England, the donkeys were probably treated better. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They had their own little field.
This wasn't like in mainland Spain, like the Costa del Sol. This was like in some little village in the mountains. So,
So what do you think of Donkey Surprise then?
This is a common theme. As you go through the catalogue, they always put a cover in there. I can see why they covered it. It fits in with the album. I didn't skip it, but it's not an obligatory live choice either. Again, I think it just captures the atmosphere of the album, and I can see why they put it on, and I think it adds another layer to the band's sound. Again, for what you've been going from song to song so far, they've always done something a little different, and it's just added another layer in the repertoire, if you know what I mean. But yeah, I've got no problem with this song.
Unfortunately, I did. Body Hammer. I don't mind the opening riff. It's very thrashy. It's overproduced, the use of samples, and then the wub-wub comes back. Why is it at times, like you've got Replica, for example, his vocals are up there, and on this particular song, his vocals are so low in the mix, the man can fucking sing, for fuck's sake. He can sing like a motherfucker, so flaunt it. It's another fucking terrible song. It's been a really high and low album so far, and the lows are winning. The chorus sounds wibbly-wobbly chorused, and he sometimes sings out of tune. And this kind of drags on because I've been using a really shit phone, which I'm aiming to replace today. Thank fuck. It dies after 50% battery. And I was in the doctor's waiting to pick up a form. So I had to sit there, listen to kids crying, chavs chavving, and smelly people smelling. And it was just altogether very unpleasant, like this song.
It's got a... things going for it. I like the little hammer effect as well. Dun, 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 bing, dun, 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 ding. You know, it got another good chorus. Really, they're kind of doing what they've been doing so far, but this isn't as good as the first four songs. No way. But it's not particularly offensive to me either. Again, the second half of the album just kind of keeps going until the end, really. It does kind of drop off a little bit now, I will admit that.
Yeah, so Flashpoint, it's more noise. Mr. Computer Programmer and Keyboard Dude had some fun here. Too much noise, let's hear the music now. Too much muffle. Whoever mixed this needs to kindly, like, fuck off. He must have been a keyboard player. But, like, there's one thing that's been catching me as well. The cymbal sounds far too fucking tinny. And it's like the slicing through me fucking eardrums at times. And, his off-key singing in this song makes me fucking sick. If you listen to it, he starts singing off-key. Okay, it may have been cool at the time, but it doesn't work. It's shit. It really is overproduced as well. I'm trying to enjoy it. The riffs are there. The singing is not there at times, but it just turns into a big... and I can't deal with it.
I find this song a lot more interesting than Body Hammer. I like it's kind of mixes the sort of balls to the wallsness of New Breed, but it's got more going on during the chorus. And there's a bit more. It's quite a short song as well, so they've fit quite a bit into a small space.
Yeah,
but I'm good with this song. I'm all right with it.
Hunter Killer, HK.
Is this the one? You are a criminal. Is that?
Am
I on the right page? Yeah.
He is a criminal. Yeah. The noise at the beginning, just fuck it off because the riff is good. You don't need the noise. The riff is good. Stop with all the fucking intros. This sounds mixed differently. It's still not perfect, but I can hear things a little better. Bert and C. Bell still too quiet. He is a criminal. And I was getting really, really pissed off with this album, to be fair. It's been a bit of a small reprieve because it's just been a big shit show of noise for me, but it's a long, long song. I like the riffs and the pacing with it, and then around 4 minutes and 8 seconds, it goes a bit pop rock for a little bit, and then I'm gone.
When further down the line, I think we should review Strapping Young Lad's City. I think... Strapping Young Lad did on this album, but it's aged a bit better. And if Fear Factory is like the soundtrack to a film, if it's like Terminator meets Blade Runner as a film, then City is a soundtrack to a computer game that's fucking mad. And you're shooting shit. And do you remember the game Wipeout? I used to love that game.
I played a fucking game.
I used to play recently. It listening to metal.
Yeah. I turned the music off.
The hovering cars, and it was all futuristic and fast. Imagine Wipeout mixed with a game where you're shooting a load of shit, but you're going back and forth between levels, and you're playing it on coke. That's Strapping Young Lad City. I think I'm just looking over to the left here, and I've got a copy of it on the shelf, and I'm thinking... I think we should do this. Yeah, I think we should cover that at some point.
Yeah, we should. And
listeners, let us know. Do you want us to cover City by strapping young lad? Anyway.
And shall we have cocaine at the same time? No, is the answer to that one. Yeah, I remember Wipeout. I haven't to listen to the music on it for a bit though. Firestarter was fucking amazing, man. Just playing that off your tits on that game. Okay, so Piss Christ, let's fill up all the space on this CD because lasers cost money. Okay, like the riff, the precise, the mixing though sounds shit. Besides the keyboards and the stupid effects, they over empower everything else. At this point, I'm fucking done. I feel like I've been listening for days. It's hard to focus, and at times it turns into mush. Where is my saviour now? He's not fucking saving me from this fuck off song. I can't wait for this album to rightly fuck off.
You need to stop picking albums that you don't like.
I didn't pick it for that reason.
This was you.
I just picked it. Well, I just picked it because it was their most popular one, not because I liked it or hated it. I've been too nice. I've got to vent the furious anger. And this is a good way of doing it.
I don't mind this song. I quite like the keyboardy singy bit at the end. I think that's what rescues it, actually. In fact, when I was doing my research for this episode, I watched a few concerts of them doing this album in full. And I'll be honest with you, I struggle watching concerts on YouTube. Everyone says it's like killing the industry. Very rarely have I watched a concert on YouTube and actually watched it all the way through. And I was doing a particular tedious task at work, so I had this on in the background, and it stands up, to be honest, mate. Well, give it that.
I don't know. I think this is a bridge over troubled water. You're on one side, I'm on the other.
Right, we're going to go on to the next song then, the closer. I'll take the lead on this one because I know where you're going with it.
Okie dokie.
Big influence on Fear Factory is Gary Numan. And
they covered Cars, didn't they?
They did on the next album, that's right, and Gary Numan did it with them. In fact, when I saw Fear Factory on the Digimortal tour at the London Astoria, I was upstairs on London Astoria, and Gary Numan was not next to me, but a couple of people over, just standing at the balcony watching. And I went, oh, mate, there's Gary Numan there. I went,
just chilling.
And he went, do you reckon he'll do Cars with him later then? I went, hopefully. But he didn't.
Norbert. What a Norbert.
Well, I don't know if it was his fault. It just might not have been in the set. It's only the London show, isn't it? They were doing a tour. It just might not have been in the set that night. But they only did an hour as well. I remember feeling particularly short-changed.
Were they headlining as well, was they?
They were headlining, but it weren't necessarily their fault. No, they came on, I'm telling you, right, 9 o'clock they were on, and bang, 10 o'clock they finished, and there was no encore.
Was that the curfew?
I think it was that night, because London Astoria was the host of GAY, very famous gay night in London. So famous that Kylie Minogue plays it when she's got a new single out. That's how fucking Kylie Minogue launched one of her albums. She launched it at GAY. Nice. But now the Astoria doesn't. After a while, it kind of was in this club like opposite it, but it used to be held at the Astoria. And yeah, the Astoria used to do a lot of nightclub nights as well, but it really fucks me off when they have a venue, they have a gig on, they fill the venue up anyway. So the venue's sorted. We're done. Yeah. The place is full. They're all buying drinks. Let's fucking throw them all out and fill it up with a load of other people. Fucking wankers. So I don't think it was particularly Fear Factory's fault. I think it was a shut up, get out, because we got a nightclub going on. And that does happen.
Well, they're not gonna say anything, are they? They're not going to anger the gay people of London, are they? So they'll just go along with it.
Like, yeah, but I've had a few gigs where it's like, sorry, we're going to have to be, we would like to go on longer, but there is a disco afterwards and we've been told finish now. So I've had a few gigs where they've said we've had to shorten our set tonight, so you can fuck off.
Nice.
So the Underworld do it quite often as well, truth be told.
Yeah, they do, because they want to kick you upstairs to that fucking shitty rock night they do, which no one cares.
Anyway, about. So let me talk about Gary Numan for a bit. His first album is a fucking masterpiece. Common was called though. Is it called Replica?
Is it called? No.
The one with Our Machines Electric. It's got a really cool, sort of cold. Let me just quickly look it up.
We should have some music we can play underneath whilst you're looking.
Well, what the point I'm getting at, sorry, is Gary Numan kind of set the tone with a lot of what went on to be industrial. It is Replicas, I'm right? Yeah.
Nice. Good shout.
He kind of lost his way a bit in the 80s, or in the late 80s, 90s, because basically his albums weren't selling anymore, and the record labels went to him, well, your idea isn't working, so you're going to have to do what we tell you. So he put out a string of shit albums. Mm. He's actually very honest about it as well, because he gets a bit of shit for those albums, and they're like, well, why'd you put them out if you hate them? Because normally when people have bad albums, they kind of defend them a bit, and he goes, no, you're right, it is shit. And the journalists don't know what to do with it. So they go, well, if you're so shit, why'd you put it out? He goes, I had no choice. Like, why did you have no choice? You're an artist. He was like, no, I was like
$600,000
in debt and had to work. And the record companies wouldn't put out my songs because my songs weren't selling. So I had to do the shitty formula that they were telling me to do. So it was a bit of a catch 22 situation. It wasn't until I got back on my feet again I could start doing my own thing. Now he does. He's got a really good thing with his fans. He's got a real good cult following and sells most of his music through his website. And yeah, he's doing well now. Anyway, but he found his feet again when the industrial stuff came out. So when your Ministries, your Nine Inch Nailses, your Fear Factories came out, he kind of went, this is what I should be doing. And it's kind of what I wanted to do, but didn't quite know how to do it. This lot have took what I did, made it their own thing, and then he kind of rediscovered himself in the late 90s with an album called Sacrifice, and he did another album called Pure, and now he's got the whole goth industrial thing going on, and all good.
Well, old is new again, isn't it? That's that happens. Things come back.
But this song is very much like something Gary Numan would do on his later albums, and that's why I like it.
Fair enough.
Although Gary Numan's albums, you can kind of take them or leave them, I will say his songs work a lot better live. But he's got a very good sound. It's very bass heavy, and when the keyboards kick in, he's got a really good light show as well, especially because he's not got a very big budget. He plays like the same, you know, he won't go much bigger than the Hammersmith Odeon, say. Or not the Hammersmith Odeon, the Kentish Town Forum. He normally plays that, but it's not.
I like that venue.
Yeah, it's not the biggest venue in the world, and yeah, so he does a lot with the limited budget that he has, and
but maximize what you've got.
Yeah, and this song is very much like what he's doing now, and I can see where he's doing it now, but I can see where they've got this from the early Gary Numan albums as well, and yeah. If you have a bit of patience and listen to the song all the way through, the way the atmosphere builds up through it and the dun, 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 you know. It's a good song and a good way to close the album. It's a bit of a climax. And I know you hate it, but I think I've bigged it up enough.
Okay, so I'm going to ruin Burton C. Bell for you nowadays. Do you remember the film The Fifth Element?
Oh, less said about that film, the better, mate. But yeah.
Gary Oldman, who plays the baddie Zorg, looks like the singer of Fear Factory now. He fucking does.
Has he got that bit of plastic across his forehead?
No, but he's got the undercut, so it looks like that. Do you know what I mean? He looks like an old Nazi. Okay, so this next song, the last one, it has an intro. I never expected that. It's slow, methodical. It's like water torture. This is not a therapy for the pain for me. It's a cause of it. This song is a prolapsed anus. Some of this stuff has really not aged well. I'm going to sing about 3 minutes and 18, and then I'm going to put stupid effects on it, and then it turns into wub, 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 wub.
Yeah, I'll give you that. It does sort of drag out at the end. They could have drawn a line under it a lot quicker.
Yeah. But like, it's still going and there's more noises. That'll work for me anyway. Proven very unsuccessful. So why change it? And yeah, 3 minutes of noise at the end of the songs, you cunt. Not for me. Ratings, Joe, I'll let you go first because mine might be expected.
Again, I think it's a really important album in metal's evolution. Some parts might not have aged as better as others, but like I say, this was one of the albums that defined the 90s. I've had a good time rediscovering the album leading up to this episode. I've gone through their back catalogue as well. I'll give this album a good 8 out of 10.
Wow. 3.5 good songs, but it's getting a 3 out of 10. And I'm being generous. It was overproduced and it's far too fucking long. At times it sounds like a mess and times it's bollocks. There's some three great songs which, as you're rightly saying, drove the metal community as a whole, and it, you know, I even fucking covered one. But I can't forgive it for the rest of it. It sounds like a mess, it's bollocks. I'm giving it 3 out of 10.
Can I just add, this isn't my favourite Fear Factory album.
Ah.
I much prefer Obsolete. And Obsolete... sorry, go on.
What's your favourite Fear Factory track?
Well, the next album's got a song called Obsolete called Resurrection, and that's one of my favourite songs ever. Mm. So,
Martyr.
Oh, that's on the first album, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a fucking amazing song. Even though he kind of sounds like Cookie Monster for a bit, it's just a great song.
Mm.
To get away.
Oh, that is.
You used to cover Replica. I was once in a band that covered Big God from the first album. Remember that song?
I'd have to go back and listen to it.
No, God.
Now I do. Have you got any shit coming out? Isn't the magazine coming? What's going on then?
Metal Legion is coming out. It should be out already, but there was a fuck up with the printers, so they had to print it all again. And I suppose that cost a bit of money as well. So, yes. But see, there's a slight delay. I'm waiting for a big box of magazines to come out, and I'm working on the next issue already. I just did a in-depth interview the other day with Carl Sanders from Nile.
Mm.
And it was really good.
He's a nice bloke as well.
Yeah, he's a very nice bloke, yeah. I want to vent a little bit, actually. I got told before the interview not to mention ex-members, because you know Dallas had left the band.
Dallas was cool as well. He's a big bastard, him. No, weren't he? Fucking hell, big fella.
Well, that was Carl. Carl's a big guy.
Oh, whoever the big bastard
Dallas
was.
Dallas is the one with a skinhead.
Yeah, and he was taller than me, though.
He's quite tall, actually, yeah. But Carl Sanders looks like he can, lift weights. Yeah. I thought he was like a big guy, but then I saw a picture of him. He's got like a black belt in jiu-jitsu. So it's like, well, you got to be pretty fit to carry that off. So I don't know if he's muscly. But,
yeah, he'd probably knock us the fuck out, put it that way.
Yeah. But it just kind of annoyed me because it was like, right, Dallas was in the band for 20 years and played on 7 albums. How the fuck am I not going to acknowledge that a member has left the band? I get you got a lot of clickbait wankers on Blabbermouth and all the rest of it, but come on, let's be real here, you know?
Yeah.
He could bullshit me all he liked. Or, you know, he could have said, oh, yeah, he went to concentrate on family business. He didn't like touring anymore. He could have lied all he liked, you know? Don't. But me going, oh, I'm not allowed to ask, tells a bigger story than Carl just brushing me off. But with that being said, Carl actually brought it up. So I don't know what the fuck that was all about. But yeah, he doesn't go too much into detail, but you kind of get what went on, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Long-term relationships falling apart after so long in whatever form, it's never pretty.
It was basically that by the sounds of it, and it just sounded like everyone just got sick of each other and one of them had to go.
Yeah, that's understandable. I get that.
It didn't sound like anything too juicy, to be honest. But the fact that you weren't allowed to talk about it made it look a lot worse than it was. But he explained it anyway. He was him that went into it. Didn't really matter. But one thing with this album, if you are a Niall fan, you will want to read my interview because I get him to go through all the albums one by one as well. Mm. So he actually, you've got Carl Sanders dissecting the Niall back catalogue. And that's really interesting as well. So that'll be something to look forward to. But this one that's coming out in the next week or so is, I'll do again a pretty good interview with Mike Browning from Nocturnus, or now Nocturnus AD, founding member of Morbid Angel as well. He talks all about that. Talks about his time in Escheron. And yeah, again, Metal Legion's a fucking awesome magazine. I'm really proud to be part of it. And even if I wasn't proud to be, even if I wasn't part of it, I'd happily buy it.
Yeah, it's a good read. Unfortunately, Joe, when I left London, I left my copy of the last one in the flat.
I think I've got another one here. I'll be posting you the new one anyway, so if I've got a spare copy, I'll send you some CDs as well.
You know what, right? All the stuff that I had in London, a lot of it have left, but the music came. The music was the first thing to fucking get packed away.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Essentials. Music is life. And without music, I wouldn't be in the better position that I am now because it's got me through a lot of shit. I'm going to start doing nice little jazzy intros for our next review. So it basically goes over the history of the band up until that point. Like a little 5 minute, 6 minute overview.
We used to do those in the early days of the show as well. For those long...
We're 5 years old as well. It was our birthday yesterday, so this is our fifth birthday fucking show, and we've been through a lot of weird and wonderful shit with this show, and we're gonna keep doing it because we both fucking enjoy it. Distance ain't no thing. We're gonna keep on with it. At Rock Show Online on Twitter if you want to message us there, and The Rock Show Online on Facebook, I think. I don't even fucking know. Or The Metal Show, whatever. Just look for us wherever good podcasts are. And with that in mind, it's been good to actually get on the mic and talk shit about metal again. Thanks very much for listening. See you later.